Y'all ready? Colossians chapter 3. A lot in chapter 3, ain't they? Huh? Y'all think there's a lot in chapter 3? I think there's a lot in chapter 3. All right. And we ain't got all of it yet. We ain't got all of it yet. Well, anybody need a paper, hold your hand up. Need a paper? Hold your hand up. We'll get you a paper. Colossians chapter 3. Some got theirs early before church started. Not mention no names. Yeah. Not mention no names, but Paula got one for her and Cheryl, and Matt got one for him and Stephanie, and I don't know. I don't know who else got them. All right. Colossians chapter 3. It's been a very exciting study. Well, we'll give you... I said a thing. me. Well, me and Cheryl can talk like this. We're going to be talking about wives and husbands and children. All right, so whatever we say will be held against us. All right, so that's for sure. All right, everybody all right? All right. Who was it told me last week to quit asking if we're all right, because we're not all right, but we're going through Colossians 3. We're not all right, so quit asking. Was that you, Clark, or... It might have been Dennis. So we quit asking because we're not all right. Let's pray together. Father, I come. Lord, you're wonderful. Lord, we've enjoyed the service tonight. We've enjoyed the singing, the prayers, and we've enjoyed your presence. We enjoy your word as well. Now, Lord, we need you. We need your word to speak to us. We need you to speak to us tonight. We need the Holy Spirit direction. Lord, I need cleansing. I don't want to do anything contrary to your will. Lord, help me to teach and preach as you want me to, but help us to be conformable to your word. Lord, I pray that we might do as you say, and we're going to thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, tonight I want to remind you that when we're looking at the epistles, it tells us how to live. The Gospels tells us how to be saved. Acts tells us how to tell others. And then the epistles tells us how to live. And that's pretty well sums it up. Revelation tells us what's going to happen when he comes. And that pretty well sums up the Bible in my way really quick. So it's not super Christians. The Bible is not written for us to be super Christians. It's just written for us to be normal Christians. This is just normal teaching. This is the same teaching that's been ever since the Bible has been written. We understand that. This is not new teaching. It's Bible teaching. And the problem is we're just not conformable to it, and that makes it hard. When you don't do what you're supposed to do, and then you find out, I believe that is a good example, when Moses read the law, they said, Moses will hear, don't let God speak to us, because we done made him mad. We don't want God talking to us no more. And then when they lost the book and they found the book and they read the book, then they all rent their clothes and wept because they didn't realize how bad a shape they'd been in because they didn't have the book. Amen. And sometimes when we look at the scripture and we are so guilty of reading it by fast without sucking everything that we can get out of every word and every little place, and we realize sometimes just how far we fell short. And so let's look tonight. We'll just start in chapter 3. Let's start at verse 4. Start at verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, I cannot go any further without telling you that Christ is our life. He is our life. We're born again. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're not saved, you need to be saved tonight. You need to be born again because you're lost, going to hell. and you need Jesus Christ, and you and the blood has been shed for you to be saved. There's no reason you shouldn't be saved. There's no reason you can't be saved. But if you are saved, you are born again, and that life, you are not to have a secular life. We got to be in the world, but we're not of the world, and we need to quit listening to the world. And even modern preachers that want to separate our life, we're not supposed to be separated from God. We're supposed to be separated from the world unto God. All right, that's the key. All right, but not separate our life that we have a double life. All right, we don't have that. We have one life. That life is Christ. Okay? And when we look at that. Now, 17 is where we really left off there. Verse 17, where we left off last week. And it's really not much to be said, only other than what it says. Let's look at it. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, and whatsoever you do. Everybody understand that? Whatsoever, you know what that means? Whatsoever you do. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Whatever you do. Whatsoever you do. Everybody got that. Everybody's got that. Well, it don't matter. It don't matter where it's home, on the job, at the house, in the closet. It don't matter cutting grass. It don't matter cutting wood. It don't matter singing a song. It don't matter driving down the road. We are supposed to exemplify Jesus Christ. Because why? Because Christ is our life. Does everybody understand that? That's why. So, verse 17. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And I don't ever want us to forget why we need to have this gratitude, because everything we have, the Lord has given us anyway. Everything we do, He's given us the ability to do. He gives us to breathe. You know, we breathe His air. You know it's not our air, don't you? It's not our air. It's His air, and He allows us to breathe it. And it's His earth, and He allows us to walk on it. And He gives us then everything to do the things we do in it. He give me the strength to get my house, to work, to make a dollar, to buy the house, everything. He gives me everything I need. He give me the money to buy the clothes I have, the food I have to eat. Everything I have is before the Lord and because the Lord. So giving thanks to God and the Father by Him is, everybody understands that, right? Is everybody all right with that? So there's really not even no references need to be given. We don't even need to read another verse, because that says it all. That whatever we do, we need to do for the Lord, in the name of the Lord, because we are of the Lord and He's our life. Amen. All right? Now, the verse we all love, 18 and 19 and 20. 21, 22. We just love all these next verses. They're so important and lovely. All right, so let's read them together, can we? Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, wait a minute, we just read that. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Ain't that amazing that verse 17 and 23 is both on the either end of submitting and loving and provoking not and obeying? Ain't that amazing that it's supposed to be, that we're supposed to do it as unto the Lord? That's not by accident. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. So verse 25 lets us know this is for everybody. All right? Everybody got that? Verse 25, go ahead and lets us understand that there's nobody exempt, that this is for everybody. This is for everybody, all right? So let's go back up to verse 18. Now, a lot of times we've laughed and joked and everything, but can I tell you this, and ladies, I want you to know we're not going to pick on you, because verse 19 is going to wear us out, all right? But we want to look at verse 18, and we know this is not modern teaching. We know that. That wives submitting themselves to anybody is not modern teaching. But it is Bible teaching. But let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, because we want to get the full meaning of this submission. And we want to include everybody, not just the ladies, but we want to see where we're at, all right, with this submission. Now, in no way, shape, or form will I say anything male chauvinist or anything like it. We're going to lay what the Word of God has out for the women and for the men and then for the children and then for the workers, okay? Everybody okay with that? Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verse 19. We better start at verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Can I tell you that doing these things in the epistles is so much easier if we're filled with the Spirit and we're letting the Holy Ghost lead us, and we're we're in one mind and one accord with the Lord, then we don't have no problem doing what we're supposed to do, okay? So, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look at verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Now, wait a minute, that's more than just wives submitting. And then verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So we see, go back up to verse 28. "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." All right, now, so we see these things is in her more than once. But this submission is not just for a wife to her husband or to her own husband, but its submission will go a long ways. Everybody understand that? Now, just to show you something here, all right, when we look at submit in a general purpose, all right, everybody pay attention now, all right, biblical submission is appropriate in relationships, period. Yes. All right? Everybody understand that? Biblical submission is appropriate in relationships. Now, the wife is supposed to be submissive to her husband. Everybody understand that, correct? All right? But the children are both supposed to be submissive to their parents, because it says for the children to obey. We still okay there? But then, and if you want scripture for that, we got it, you know. We just now read it in Ephesians 5, submitting yourself one to another. And then if you want to go to Ephesians 6, 1, children obey your parents in the Lord, right? We're still talking about submission. Is everybody still good? And then how about believers to the elders of the church? How about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7? How about 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13? We know these verses are familiar to us. Obey them that have the rule over you. We're still talking about submission. Okay? So we got the wife submitting to the husband. We've got the children submitting to parents. We've got the believers submitting themselves to the elders in the church. All right? If you look in Romans 13, you got citizens submitting themselves to the state. Everybody follow me? If you go back and read Romans 13, where it talks about us obeying the magistrates and everything. So we see submission is not, we like to hammer on the wife submitting to the husband, but it don't stop there, that it's submitting herself one to another. And there's a lot of areas that all has to do with relationship. Is everybody following me tonight? See, but it goes even further than that. It goes in 1 Peter chapter 2, it'll talk to us about servants obeying their masters. How about servants submitting themselves, the employee submitting themselves to the employer? See, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about the wives to the husbands, the children to the parents, the believer to the church leaders, the citizen to the state. Everybody still with me? The employee to the employer. How about back to what we said, submit yourself one to another. How about the believer to every other believer? See, we don't think about submission in that way. Everybody with me? What we think about is wife submit. And you got the picture cartoons of the man got the woman by the neck saying submit. That ain't nothing. That ain't no biblical in that. And any preacher that would even say that needs smacked in the nose.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Okay? Just so you understand. Now, submission is not grounded or not founded, and there's no basis for any superiority to show any betterment of anybody. That ain't got nothing to do with submission. Of who's better than anybody. The wife submitting to the husband does not show that the husband is better. The children submitting themselves to the parents don't show that the parents are any better. The employee and the employer, all right down the line, it don't show that. That has nothing to do with who's better.
That's right.
Everybody understand that? So I want you to be clear on that, all right? And it's not inferior or superior. Everybody understand? Talk to him if you understand. Now, when we talk about submission, the concept, the thought, the idea that a wife being submissive to the husband, if we go back to Genesis before the fall, all right, before the fall, when there were no sin, that the wife was a helpmeet, a helper. All right? Now, guys, get ready. Before sin. Now, we always make the remark, well, you know where we'd be if it hadn't been for the woman. We'd be in the garden. And we would be a mess. And there wouldn't be but one man in the garden. And he would be incomplete. Because the wife made the man complete. He was incomplete without the wife. Is everybody listening to me? So when we talk about submission now, women, y'all supposed to say, ooh, that's good, that's good. That's what y'all supposed to be saying, because it's not going to be like that in a minute. So, all right. But anyway, but this is true. Now when we talk about submission, everybody understand, submission is not got anything to do with the man. Does everybody understand that? A woman submitting to her husband has not one thing to do with the man.
That's right. Amen.
It's got something to do with the woman and the Lord.
Amen.
Okay? Does everybody follow me? Has nothing to do with the husband. Don't matter whether the husband is good or bad.
Right. That's right.
Don't matter whether he's rich or poor, handsome or ugly. Fat or skinny, it had nothing to do with it. It's got something to do with the wife and the Lord.
Right.
That's where submission comes in. Is everybody listening to me now?
Yes,
now, understand this. The husband will never reach his full potential apart from the support and the input of his wife.
Amen.
That's how important you are, wives. Are you listening to me? The husband, now, if you say, well, I don't believe it, well, you're just wrong.
Amen.
All right. If any man don't believe it, you're just wrong, and you need to repent because you've got a bad attitude in your heart toward your wife or toward women.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay? We still okay?
Yep.
Now, I'm going to say this again. The husband will never reach his full potential apart from the input and support of his wife, because she is his helper.
Yeah.
And you say, well, I don't know about that. Well, her being a helpmate and God being our helper is the same language. So you think God is inferior? You think God is a weakling or out of place? I don't think he's out of place. Nor do I think the woman's out of place.
Right.
Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? All right. So what is this submission? All right. Let's look at some scripture. All right. How about 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Probably around verse 3 maybe. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. How about verse 3? It says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Anybody got any problem with that? I mean, that's simple, ain't it? How about 1 Timothy? How about 1 Timothy chapter 2? Verse 12. "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." Now we'll just go ahead and tell you that that'll knock away women teaching men in church,
yes,
and also knock out women pastoring.
Yes.
And so will chapter 3, verse 1.
Yes.
This is a true saying: if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work.
Amen.
All right. So I just want to tell you there are no biblical women preachers.
No.
All right. I ain't gonna say there's no women preachers because there's women doing it all over the place, but there's no biblical women preachers. And then a woman is not supposed to usurp authority over man. All right. Does everybody understand it? Now. But what we're looking at here, we're looking at wives submitting to their own husbands. Now, wives, Cheryl Ann is not to submit to you guys.
Right. That's right.
Cheryl Ann's supposed to submit to me.
Right.
I'm her husband.
Right.
Everybody understand that? If you're a wife, you're not supposed to be submitting to other men.
Nope.
All right? You submit to your own husband. Now, you still don't be an authority over man, because there in Timothy it's talking about mankind, period. But we're talking about Colossians here, and it says, "Wives, submit yourself to your husband." We okay with that?
Yep.
See, it don't say your husband, it says your own husband. So make sure we understand which husband it is. It's your own one. Okay? Everybody all right with that? Now, when we talk about submission, I want us to get involved in a submission, because it's going to go further than just for the wife and the husband. Okay? Now, we already know, well, we might as well go there and read it. We might as well go 1 Peter chapter 3, because we're going to have to look at a woman's attitude. Now remember now, submission, your husband ain't got nothing to do with it. It's between you and the Lord. Wives, are you listening to me? Wives to be, listen to me. Alright? But look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice the attitude of the woman. Now this is not modern either. Alright? I didn't need that thought. Take that away from me. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to have a staff meeting in my mind here. 1 Peter chapter 3. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, whilst they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit." We're talking about attitude here. "Which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now we'll get to verse 7 when we get to verse 19 in Colossians. Okay? But so we see the attitude of submission. We see the attitude. And can I tell you, let's just go ahead and look back, guys. If we're going to be submissive, and if the employee is going to be submissive to the employer and the children all the way down, everywhere they're submitting, then our attitude is going to matter. If our attitude is wrong, then there's not going to be no submission. Let's just go ahead and say, if our attitude's not right, there's not going to be no love neither. All right? So we need to make sure that we have a, how about a, we have a chaste conversation coupled with fear. How about we have a meek and quiet spirit? The scripture is not going to say no word for a man to be loud and boisterous and overbearing.
That's right.
The scripture don't teach that neither. Brother Rick, tell no fussing allowed. Can I tell you, it ain't going to be right for the woman to be quiet and the man to run his mouth.
Right.
Everybody okay?
Yep.
Come on now, y'all. Everybody needs to talk to me.
Right.
All right. Now, so sometimes we think submission and surrender is the same. I spent a long time today just on this one thing, this one thought, and you know, we need to surrender to the Lord. Well, that's true. We need to surrender. We need to surrender, and we do the same with our husband. But that ain't what the Bible says. See, there's a vast difference in surrender. I want you to listen, and maybe you'll get the point of it here. People will use surrender and submission the same, all right? But when you surrender, you give up. You give up your fight. You give up your opinion. You give up everything about you. When you surrender, you give up. You're no longer like somebody's fighting. The unconditional surrender is you give your sword, you're done. Do we understand that? That means you're going to accept the other person's will. You're going to accept the other person's leading. You're going to accept the freedom that the other person gives you. Everybody follow me? You're gonna surrender to the trust you're allowed to have. Everything that you surrender is gonna be on the other person. What the other person dictates. Is everybody following me? But that's not what submission is. That's what surrender is. Is everybody following what I'm saying? All right. What men has in the past wanted was for women to surrender.
That's right.
But that's not biblical.
That's right.
The Bible don't say wives surrender to your husband. The Bible says wives submit to your husband.
Right.
Now here's the catch, ladies. Now it sounds good, but it's tougher. Because submission is a voluntary, active compliance to authority out of respect and obedience to His word.
Yes.
Everybody follow me? So when you submit to your husband, it's a voluntary act of respect and honor because of the word of God.
Amen.
All right. Under the husband's authority, because we just read to you in Corinthians where that Christ is the head of man is the head of woman. There's authority laid out in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It don't say if the husband's good or bad. It says in 1 Peter we just read, if the husband don't obey the word, it says be in subjection. What the scripture said.
Yes, sir.
And if the husband obeys the word, be in subjection.
Amen.
And if they don't obey, be in subjection.
Amen.
Because the subjection is between you and the Lord, not really between you and your husband.
Exactly.
Everybody follow me? So when you're not submissive, you're not right with God.
Right.
It's not that you're just not right with your husband, you're not right with God neither.
Right.
Are we still okay? Now, submission is an act of trust. All right? Submit to your own husbands, then you're going to have to trust the Lord and trust your husband. You understand? You're going to have to trust and obey because of God's leadership. Everybody still follow me? Now, surrender is letting go. All right? Just letting go. Just be done. But submission is a voluntary, constant act. That's tough. Are we still okay? All right, let's look at surrender again. It's letting go of a struggle. It means moving out of a power struggle, if you would. Now, we're not going to talk like there's the elephant in the room here. We know there's power struggles in home. We know we got big mouth women. We know that. We got women out of place. We got women that talk too much in their home. All right? And that just happens. All right? We got problems in the church. Can I tell you that about, as a pastor of 40 years, 98% of church trouble come from women. Women in their mouth. That's just the truth. I'm not throwing no stones, not bringing up no bad memories or anything else. I'm just stating the fact is that that's what happens. Okay? There's many secular things we could say, but we don't want to go that route. We want to stay scripturally here. And the submission of the wife will be a lot easier on them if the love of the husband is biblical. If the love of the husband is as that Christ loved the church, it'll be easier for submission. Now, we say amen, but yet Christ loves us and we don't submit to Him. So it's not as easy. It sounds good, but it's not as easy as it says. Okay? And this has nothing to do with the man being the head and if a woman don't submit and all these. It's understand this. There's not to be no conflict in the home. There's not to be no fussing in the home. We're supposed to have, if we're saved, we're supposed to have a meek and quiet spirit one with another. And the husband ought to be able to take the mistakes and the weak places of the wife. And the wife is supposed to look over the weak places of the husband in support, bringing up the slack. So we're together.
Amen. Good preaching.
Everybody still with me?
Good.
And if it ain't at the house, it won't be in this house.
That's right. Amen.
We still okay?
Yep.
Now, surrender is going to... We're gonna have to change our plans to where we just give up and we don't have nothing. The Bible don't teach that a woman don't have a thought or don't have an opinion. The Bible don't teach that. The Bible does not teach the woman don't have good ideas and good things. Listen, for not every man, but for a lot of the men, if it wasn't for your wife, you couldn't even get dressed. If it wasn't for your wife, you couldn't open a can of soup. Some husbands couldn't. Some husbands don't. They do. They wouldn't have a clue. They wouldn't have a clue. The only thing they know is if it's cold, they can turn the stove on. They don't know how to cook nothing. They couldn't. I know men that couldn't get a bag of groceries. If the woman was laying sick, they couldn't even go to the store. They said, "Will you hurry up and get better so you can go to the store? I'm hungry." And you say that don't happen, there's probably some here today. You know? Do you know how to wash clothes? Most men will wash clothes all at one time. No matter what color they are, then they, all of our whites would be multicolored. They don't know how to do nothing. If that's not true, all right, men, clean your house and see if your women are satisfied. A man's clean and a woman's clean is not the same clean. A man's clean is filthy. Huh? Unless you got OCD so bad. I mean, there's some men that's got OCD so bad that they're clean, but I still know some women that come in and cleaned again.
That's right.
Huh? I mean, man lives, it's good enough.
That's right.
Am I still okay? I'm right. Is that not true? So we need to be careful, but we're not going to enslave the woman. That ain't what the scripture told about being a slave. She's a helpmate, not a slave. And we're out of time. So we got a long way to go, don't we? Because we're going to get in this voluntary alignment. All right. So when we look at submission, all the ladies, look at me. Don't close your Bibles yet. Look at me. Submission is voluntary alignment. Voluntary alignment. All right? When your car gets out of line, all right, others can tell it by looking. You pull into a garage and a mechanic goes around and says, you need alignment. They can tell by the way you're wearing. And they put you on a machine. And it's the same machine for everybody. And it's the same crosshairs for everybody.
Amen.
Everybody understand? And then when you get lined up, can I tell you, they line them up the same way. Sometimes they do a four-wheel alignment. It's when you're really out. Let's go home.